61. This is an amazing scripture about the work of Jesus in our lives. The title of this message is Lessons from My Bald Patch. And they're speaking about my hair or somebody else's hair. We're speaking a little bit on gardening. It's not my greatest topic in the world. But let me read this. This is an amazing thread-in in Isaiah 61. It says this is about the new covenant. This is about the work of Jesus. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, He will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His own splendor of His glory. That is some transformational life. That is some trading. When you look at what God ticks, He ticks our mourning. He takes our ashes that speaks of sorrow. He takes our despair. And it says He gives us joy. He gives us beauty. He gives us gladness. And then it says in verse 3 that the Lord has planted us to display the splendor of His glory. He's planted us. The Lord has planted us to display the splendor of His glory. Do you believe this morning that you are a planting of the Lord? That God has planted you. And He has planted you to display to the world the splendor of His glory. Wow. That is some mandate on us as the people of God. Is that God, through the church, wants to invade our families, our communities, and our nations, that He would plant people and families, communities, and nations to influence in such a way that we show people the splendor of the Lord, His beauty, His gladness, His love, His miracles, His healing touch, His grace, His gladness, His joy. That's an amazing thought, that we are a planting of the Lord to show the world the splendor or His glory, to execute His power. And I was thinking about this planting, to be planted by the Lord, to show the world the splendor of His glory. And this is why Lessons for My Bald Patch, because this week I've been trying a bit of gardening. Now I have a grassy patch in my garden, but a bit of it, all the grass was dugging up to lay down some pipes, and there's no grass. So I've got a big bald patch surrounded by grass. And when we got a garden with grass here, and you think, well, it's not about just nipping down the wastes and scattering some seed. There's things you've got to do. And in my extensive studies this week, because it's a holiday period and I'm still studying extra hard, there's three things that make seeds, is it germinate? Is that the word? Location, as in, far you put it, warmth, and water. I love spring because you see new life coming. And it's quite easy to relate that to Easter and resurrection power, that God wants to bring new life and new beauty, and He wants to save people. Over the last 3 weeks, we have each week celebrated newness. 3 weeks ago, it was baby Jack's dedication. We were celebrating new birth. And for 2 weeks in a row, we had baptisms, which we celebrated people being born again, new birth. And it's no coincidence for me. It's springtime. It's newness. It's life. And things are flourishing, and we're seeing fruit for Alpha courses and ministries. And what an amazing time of worship we just heard people. You kind of take that for granted, even though some of the words wasn't on the screen. What a privilege it is to come and worship and feel the presence of God. But there's a newness, and there's a new season. And we are a planting of the Lord. And it says, there's three things to see things flourish in the natural, and I believe they're true in the spiritual as well. Three conditions that are met: location, warmth, and water. The where. So I've got a bald patch in my grass. The location for I plant that seed is absolutely vital. And it's common sense, isn't it, that for I would plant the seed will be expected, you've got to be an atmosphere and a little thought here to say that for I want grass, that's for how you've got to plant the seed. And there's got to be an atmosphere that it would flourish under to see grass there. So it's not just a case of nipping down to waste, getting a bag of seed and just throwing it. You've got to dig up the bald patch and you've got to plant it strategically in a place that will flourish. I.e., I can't just throw seeds into my chuckies and hope and pray that it will flourish, for I need it to flourish, which is the bald patch. You understand that? Location is vital to see things flourish. I want to say, when I looked at this, I thought location would be near a major point, but it's quite a major point that we need to locate ourselves an atmosphere that allows us to flourish easily. We need to place ourselves in places, in the atmosphere of worship, that allows us to flourish under the hand of God so that we can become carriers of His splendor and glory to show the world. What I mean by that is sometimes it's just geographical. That as the sun represents Jesus Christ, the water a representation of the Holy Spirit, we still need to strategically place ourselves in places that will cause us to flourish. There is an amazing amount of people that love the Son, Jesus Christ, believe in the Holy Spirit, but do not place themselves or places of fellowship that believe the same things. That stunts your growth. So it's like this. I can love the Lord, I can believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit, but yet if I go to a place of religion that doesn't flow in the Holy Spirit, that doesn't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Holy Spirit, as much as you might love the people there, your growth will be stunted and you'll end up frustrated. Now you might be well-meaning and you might think, well, I'm bringing the light of the Holy Spirit here and I see myself as a bit of a catalyst to change the hill parish. Life is too short. Location. Surround yourself by people that are the same mindset as you. That believe the same things you do. That believe in the fire of Jesus. That believe in revivals. They believe in the outworking of the Holy Spirit. They believe that lame people can walk again, that blind eyes can open. You can believe all that things, but what I tell you, if you put yourself in a place continually and surround yourself by people that don't believe the same things, you can find yourself very, very frustrated. I want to tell you, life is too short. Get yourself amongst people that will contend for the community, that will believe for you, will pray for you, that will not be downcast, that will lift up your heads in times of sorrow. Surround yourself by faith-filled, prophetic, Jesus-loving people. And I want to tell you, the blessing that's on them is so contagious, it will find and infect you. Locate yourself in positions to flourish. The disciples located themselves close to Jesus and they flourished because a blessing that was on Jesus invaded their souls as well. The disciples had a choice when Jesus turned up and said, follow me. The disciples could have said, nah, too busy fishing. They could have said, nah, I'm too busy being a tax collector. but they say, yes, there is something about Jesus. There is something about the life of God that emanates from this person. I'm going to leave everything, and I'm going to come under his influence. And they became blessed. And you see the journey of the disciples. They was there when Lazarus was dead for 4 days. They lacked faith that they could see a miracle. But because they located themselves next to Jesus, they seen a man that was dead for 4 days walk out, be loosed, and be a sign of the wonder-working power of Jesus Christ. The disciples were able to see this because they located themselves in a place to see the blessing. People, if you want to be a planting of the Lord that will see the splendor of the Lord, will see the glory of the Lord to show the world, we need to locate ourselves right. Surround yourself by people that will move in the same things that you want to see. Warmth. It's not just good to find a location, to find a bald patch, to plant it well. You didn't plant seeds in the winter, did you? Why is that? Because it needs warmth. It needs the warmth of the sun. And praise God, since I planted the seed, tell by my red face, things have gotten a bit warmer. Ideal conditions for growth. The sun starts coming up, but emanates light. Farming's the world for primary school photosynthesis. You mind that? It was the ability of a plant to turn light energy into something or substance to feed them and to grow and flourish. The sun that rises, we see every day, biding in a broch, is a great representation of the sun, Jesus Christ. It rises, it gives light, it gives life, it is powerful. Its light doesn't diminish, its power doesn't diminish, it simply is brilliant. And we need to locate ourselves right, in the right place with the right people. But we also need the continual relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ. If we want to be a people that will show this community and our families the splendor of the Lord, then we need the warmth of Jesus Christ upon our lives. Is your Jesus, is your God a cold-hearted God, or is he warm? Some people's view of God is that he's so angry and so disappointed in us that he doesn't want nothing to do with us. And the only thing he's got in his mind is judgment. My Jesus is a warm Jesus. As he walked on this earth, he would have been warm to hang around with. He says to people that was caught in sin, go, your sins are forgiven. It says he was gentle. He was humble at heart. He went around doing good. It says he trampled and defeated the work of the enemy. Is your Jesus a warm Jesus? Is he beautiful beyond comprehension? As we worship, as we dwell in him, as we have a relationship with him, what do you get from him? Is it coldness? Is it that he would leave you as an orphan? Leave you in despair? We have read the things that he trades. He takes our ashes and gives us beauty. He takes our despair and gives us joy. Is that a warm person to you? Is that a warm God to you? He's maybe warmer than you think. He's more loving and more good than you think. He's always got time for you. He's a miracle-working God that wants us to come alongside him and be co-laborers for his kingdom. Oh, we need to locate ourselves, aye. But we need a continual relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to flourish, if you want to show the world the splendor of the King, then certainly you need the warmth of Jesus Christ. And as the sun shines and beams out the rays, and the seeds just are soaking up, you can that the seed has nothing to offer the sun, apart from just displaying the energy, displaying the beauty. I feel like that with Jesus Christ. I've never really much to offer Jesus but to be planted. And I just put my sail on the receiving end to everything that he is glad to give us. And as we position ourselves and locate ourselves, we have a relationship with Jesus, then the love that he shines forth then works through us, and the world can see the splendor of his love because you have aligned yourself to the love of a Savior. I have nothing on myself to give this community or my family. It's not through my strength that they'll be saved. It's not through my goodness or wisdom. But as you put yourself in a position of warmth, as you receive the warmth and the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ as he bestows on you his wisdom, and you have nothing really to give back, then you can flourish and become something beautiful in the kingdom of God. Warmth, the where, location. The last thing is, and this is where I failed, because I think I'll see my grass grow, is I take it for granted that it would rain in the brook. Isabel said, you need water on it. I said, I have to abide in the brook. But ever since I planted it, there's been no rain. Maybe I should do more planting. But I got the location right. It's in the right place. And I've hid the warmth. But as I've looked every day to see a bit of growth, there's been nothing. And I went out of the soil that I buried it in, and it's like dust. You see, not only do you need the warmth of the sun, not only do you need the where, the location, but you need some water. You need the rain. And in my foolishness, I thought, granted, I'll be rain. And I don't think the grass will grow unless something happens, because it needs moisture to grow. And you've maybe got your location right, and you've maybe got your relationship with Jesus, but to be a planting of the Lord, this chapter also speaks about the new covenant, a time when Jesus was going to come, a time when the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out. And I love the Lord, and I'm in the right location, but I need him to rain down in my life through the Holy Spirit. We are still Pentecostal, aren't we? We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit for the day. If the church is truly to display the splendor and the glory of the Lord in the land of the living, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to his disciples before the ascension, he says, wait until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, then I preach a sermon until you receive the coming rain of the Holy Spirit. There's poor to be ministered to. But then I serve a meal to the poor until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. There would have been people bound and addicted who said, I didn't want you to try and help them. I need you to wait, because I want to bring a rainstorm that will completely transform everything. You need the rain, the refreshing, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be an effective display of his splendor and his glory to this world. Amazing. It says that we will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for the display of his splendor. Let's believe for again the power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. Let's believe as a fellowship, as we receive the look, if we get in the right location, as we receive the warmth for a daily devotion to Jesus Christ, let's believe for great and mighty things, that we would receive the power from on high that would transform us and to transform other people, that we would show the world the splendor and glory of our King through the moving of the Holy Spirit. The church should be the most glorified, splendorous, if that's a word, place in the face of the planet. The people should be coming in, as it says, blind, and receive their sight. they should be coming in as prisoners and as captives, and they should be set free. They should be coming in lame and ganut walking. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if the church would be like if we was just to say, wait. Let's receive the rain from on high. God's got times of refreshing. We're Pentecostal. It's not just a tagline. It's a truth that we live by. That we believe people can be sick and be made well through the laying on of hands. We believe in the Shekinah glory. We believe in the revivals. We believe that things don't have to be as they are. But God can give us dreams and visions. Whoa. Thought somebody was shooting me. The mandate of his people. Do you consider yourself to be a planting of the Lord? That God looks at his garden, he looks at the world, and he says, I'm going to plant people. A planting of the Lord. Not a mistake. You have a plan and a purpose, and you've got the DNA to see something amazing in your life. He said, I'm going to plant people. We have a mandate to display the splendor and glory of the Lord through the warmth of Jesus Christ, through locating ourselves in the right place, through the water of the Holy Spirit. And if you read on, verse 4, if it is the fruit of these people, and I pray that this morning you would hit the confidence to say, I'm a planting of the Lord. This is the fruit of these people. This is astounding that this would be in here. If you consider yourself to be a planting of the Lord, you're walking in fellowship with Jesus, you're locating yourself in the right place, you believe and you want the refreshing of the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. This is the fruit of these people. It continues. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for the display of his glory. They, for us they, us, it's only they, the planting of the Lord. They will rebuild ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields, tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double person, a double portion, a prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Wow. Does anybody think a community needs a bit of rebuilding through the power of Jesus? Come on. Does anybody see that the Northeast, even if it has been deserted for many generations, that God has got a plan to see it flourish? If you are a planting of the Lord, then through you, they, the church, I'm not boasting here in us, this is not about us, but this is the mandate of the church, and this is the mandate of God wanting to bless the world through the church. Unless you've got a cold heart of Jesus. They will rebuild ancient ruins. For too long, his people spoke about the ruins of this community in the surrounding area. They will repair cities destroyed long ago. God has got his eye on the sparrow. He's got his eye on the individuals. I want to tell you absolutely, without a shadow of doubt in my mind, that God has also got his eyes on communities, and nations. That he looks at the nations and he sees the wars, the torment. He sees the jealousy. He sees the factions. And he wants to rebuild. Depending on your theology. Some people will say it's just destined to get worse and worse and worse and worse, and we're hanging on by our fingernails until Christ comes back. It's a popular theology. Their theology is that God has empowered the church to bless communities, and he is coming back for a bride that we've sung about. And things can get better and better and better, and more glory and more glory and more glory, and more people can get saved and more people can get healed. And we have got more access to revelation and truth today than we have ever had in generations gone before. You can go on the internet and look at one sermon and tap in the locate yourself and on a stream of the Holy Spirit, on a move of God that is going on in the world today. You can tap in it. And you can go alongside it and be blessed by it. And we can be repairers of broken walls. We can see cities transformed. If we would only believe how big our God is, how good our God is, how loving he is, and then we would say it's unacceptable for people to go a lost eternity without him, and Jesus has paid the price to save them and set them free. And God, maybe he'll do it one person at a time, but we as the church, our church in the Broch, we need to start thinking there about how we do good services. We need to start thinking in terms of community. And for brave enough nations, we need to start thinking of how on earth do we show this community the splendor of the King? How do we serve it with the love of Jesus? Let's see barriers broke down and bridges built. Because I believe that God, through his splendor and through the church, he wants to repair this place, Cadebroch, St. Combs, Balgar, Rosarte, St. Haven. He wants to repair broken homes. He wants to repair broken marriages. He wants to help broken families. He wants to rebuild broken streets. He wants us to flourish, to be reignited. And they just don't want about a bless me club. But I've got to say, my heart is that God wants to bless the broke and left people out of poverty. And need to be just for people need to just be receiving help by the time. But I believe he wants people to become for a point of receiving all the time, to then get good jobs and input into society. We should be contributors, is what I'm trying to say. To society, because that shows the world the splendor of the King through generosity, through love, through unconditional grace, a forgiven heart, signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm getting a bit greedy here, but I just want to Is it greedy to say you want the provision that God would give you to see people saved? When all the love they can give us, all the miracles he can give us, when all the splendor that he wants to give us, it depends on how good you think God is. If you think he's stingy, you'll live like that the rest of your life, and you'll maybe never show the people that surround themselves with you, you'll maybe never show them the splendor of the King. If I think of splendor, I think of great love, great healing, great success, great prosperity. I think of growth. I didn't think of meagerness. I didn't think of stinginess. I didn't think of poverty. And God has put on us as a planting of the Lord, if we locate ourselves, come under the moving of the Holy Spirit, be in a relationship with Jesus. We get to show the world the splendor of a King with the heart of a servant. And he's pouring us It doesn't say God will rebuild the ancient ruins. God will repair the cities. God will revive them. It says they, us, co-laborers with Jesus, we will rebuild the ancient ruins. Like Nehemiah, we're on a rebuilding project, a habitation of the glory of the Lord. And it's great to see people join us in the rebuilding project, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They, didn't say God, for we can, it's God, they will revive them, though they have been deserted for many, many generations. Let's stand and ask the worship band to come up. We are a planting of the Lord. We need refreshed through the Holy Spirit, through the coming rain. My heart cry is always, open up the floodgates of heaven. We need more of the Holy Spirit today than we ever have done. We face many challenges. We see many ruins and many deserted places. But if we would allow ourselves to be located in the right place, to feel the warmth of Jesus, we're open to the movement of the Holy Spirit, then God would put on us to see this place rebuilt for Jesus, to see his resurrection power on display. I want to say forever, Sophia, influence that you have. It could be in your family. It could be in your workplace. I want to say you're a planting for the Lord there, and you're not there by coincidence, you're there by design. And you are there to be a beacon of hope. You are there to revive them. And you might think, well, my family is just too far gone. It's too broken. It's too messed up. And God says, I want you. You're a planting for the Lord. I'm going to put my splendor in you. I'm going to move through you. You're going to show your family. You're going to show your workplace the splendor and the glory of the King. And you'll see rebuilding our lives, restitution of relationships. We will see others trade in their sorrow for joy. You will see others. We God just taking off their ashes and putting them beauty. You'll see others with a spirit of despair that God would trade for a spirit of praise. Just going to ask for people if you want to respond, particularly just for an open heaven, for a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. My grass is not likely to grow because I neglected to refresh it with the water. But I want to grow as a person planted by the Lord. And I want to be refreshed. I want to be empowered. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit upon my life. Feel as though you're in that place and you think, hey, I am. My location is good. I'm feeling the warmth. But you think, hey, I just need a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And as we worship us, loving God, then you come forward. We're simply going to pray for you. We're going to pray big prayers. We're going to pray that you would see signs and wonders and miracles. We're going to pray for the boldness of Jesus Christ. We're going to pray that you would show the world the splendor of the King. The mandate of the church is not to show the world the angry God that doesn't like behavior. The mandate is to show the world the splendor and the beauty of a King that loves them and laid their life down for them through the moving and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask that Pentecost, the power of the Pentecost, would be upon your life. Let's worship him. Let's feel his warmth. Let's locate ourselves in the right place. If you want prayer this morning, prayer ministry, just come forward. We'll pray quick, big prayers that would impact nations. So we ask Jesus as we worship you. I thank you that you says wait until the power comes. And as we wait here, we receive the power for on high, for the Most High God. We position ourselves just like a seed, and there's nothing we can give back to you, Jesus. We simply position ourselves to receive for the hand of Jesus. I thank you. It says that when you ascended, you left gifts. And we ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit to be on display. And God, I specifically ask that they wouldn't just be on display within us four walls of the church. They would see him on display in houses, in workplaces. That miracles would be a daily occurrence in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.